Today we begin lesson number 21 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shviyos. We're into the fifth perek, the third and fourth Mishnayos. Perek Hei, Perek Hamishi, Mishnah Gimel, and Mishnah Dalet. We learned yesterday about a type of an onion called a luf. And we speculated, or at least I shared with you Professor Felix's belief that the luf is something called Solomon's claw. It's a Solomon's lily. But be that as it may, the luf is something which was used in the Mishnaic times of the Mishnah. And it was stored for long periods of time by being buried in the earth. And we learned yesterday that when you do that, in order so that it shouldn't seem as if you're planting the luf in the earth, you must take rather large stockpiles of the luf, bury them all in one place, and cover them with earth in such a way that it doesn't look at all like planting the luf. Now, in order to understand Mishnah Gimel, we have to introduce another concept that I don't think we've discussed much until this point. I don't think we've mentioned it at all. And that is the concept of biur. During the year of Shviyos, the Peros Shviyos are permissible to be eaten, but under certain conditions known as Kedusha Shviyos, some of which we've learned already. They have to be eaten and not wasted, etc. There reaches a period of time in the course of the year when the particular species that you're eating is no longer to be found in the field. So much so that wild animals no longer can sustain themselves on that because there's nothing left in the field. At that point, the owner of the produce, the person who's holding the produce in his own home, must perform biur. So machlokes rishonim as to what biur means, but the consensus seems to be that biur means when this time comes in the middle of Shviyos, and it's kol olachaya min hasoda, animals in the field that no longer can obtain this particular type of fruit of peri. So it has to, the person who's holding it in his home has to take it out of his home, put it outside, and declare it hefker, and say, whoever wants to come and take it can come and take it, and take it and eat it. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which we will learn later, much later in this Masechta and Perek Tes, is that Echad Aniyim, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that only Aniyim can eat after the biur. Persons poor. We'll define what that means, poor. He and only he can eat peros after the biur. He is made hefker for the aniyim. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. However, Rabbi Yossi says, echad aniyim ve'echad ashirim ochlum achar habiur, that after the biur, you declare it hefker. Whoever comes and takes it can take it and keep it. In fact, even the balabayas, the person who declared it hefker in the first place, can declare it hefker and immediately take it back. I say it's hefker, now I take it back from hefker. Hefker means you declare it ownerless, open to anybody to have. So our Mishnah now, Mishnah Gimel, is discussing the situation of luf. And the luf was planted and grew in the sixth year. And it's stored in the ground for a long time. And it could stay in the ground throughout the rest of the sixth year, throughout all of the seventh year, and into the eighth year. Because the luf is miskayem, the luf exists without rotting in the earth for 3 years. Now, by the time that the Motsoi Shviyos, the eighth year, comes around, this luf is grown. And some of it grew in the sixth year, some of it grew in the seventh, some may have grown in the eighth. So mixed into this luf, which is buried under the ground, are gidulei Shviyos. Some of it grew during Shviyos. So the olei haluf also require biur. Somewhere in the course of the time of Shviyos, it was required that the luf be declared biur hefker for everyone. Here you are now in the eighth year. What do you do with it? So the Mishnah says, luf sha'ovra alav shvius. Luf, which is kept in the ground from the sixth year through all of the seventh year into the eighth year. And the leaves of the luf, which grew during the seventh year, were obligated in biur. Rabbi Leza Omer, im loktu ho aniyem es olav loktu. If during the seventh year, after the beer point, let's say the beer point is Purim time of the seventh year, so if the Leviim after Purim went and took some of this, took that luf, fine, that's the end of it. They took their luf, that was the beer, the Aniyim took it, and whatever else grew in the eighth year, and is fine. V'yim lav. But suppose the Aniyim didn't touch it, and the luf continued to grow. So now you have some Gidulei Shviyas and some Gidulei Shminis all mixed together. What do you do? Ya'aseh cheshbonim ho'aniyim. You have to make something of a cheshbon. You try to figure out as best as you can how much of the luf that you now have here into the eighth year grew in the seventh year and therefore has undergone its biur, and the aniyim can come and take that percentage, that amount. There are various formulas given in the Mefarshim as to how you make this cheshbon. Now, this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is following Rabbi Yehuda, who says in Perek Tes in our Masechta that biur, after the biur, the peros belong only to aniyim. So therefore, you have to work out some kind of a cheshbon with the aniyim. However, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, im loktu ho aniyim es olav lokotu. If the aniyim during the seventh year, after the biur point, went and took their luf. So that's the end of it. They did it, and it's gone. The rest is yours. V'yim lav, ein lo aniyim olav cheshbon. However, if they didn't collect it in Shviyas, then the aniyim have no claim on anything. Why? Because where was this luf after the biur? It was in this Bal Habayis' property, this farmer's property. So it was Hefker when Biur came along, and the Balabayas took it from Hefker. And he has every right to it, as much of a right to it as do the Aniyim. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that both Aniyim and Ashirim can be Zocha in the Peros after the Biur, he holds there's nothing to talk about that the Aniyim didn't come and do it during Shvius. So the Balabayas was already Zocha in the Luf. And there's nothing more to talk about, no cheshbonos to be made. That's Mishnah Gimel. Let's move on to Mishnah Dalet, in which we're going to be talking about other kinds of, what should we say, luf-like peros, luf-like species. So, luf shel erev shviyas shenichnas l'shviyas. If the luf, which, as we know, even after it's fully grown, is still kept in the earth for storage. So a luf which grew in the ring Erev Shviyas, it was totally ripened and ready to be eaten Erev Shviyas. But it was not harvested. Instead, it was buried under the earth, as was the practice. Shenichnas l'shviyas, now you're in the year Shviyas. V'chein bitzolim ha-kitzonim. And the same thing is true for summer onions. Kitzonim from the word kayetz, or summer. These are onions that are planted in the summertime. And they also are kept from the shishis year into the seventh year. And v'chein pua shel idis. And the same thing is true for pua, which is a kind of a plant from which you extract some type of red dye, that's pua, shel idis, which grew in very fertile earth. These three meaning, luf, bitzolim hakitzonim, and pua, shel idis, finished their growth in the sixth year and are kept in the ground through the seventh year. The Professor Felix says that pua is in Latin rubia tinctorium, rubia, R-U-B-I-A, which led to the word ruby, red. Tinctorium, meaning that it's something which gives color. It's a dye, rather than something which is eaten. Now, Beishamai omrim okrino son b'marufo shaleitz. Beishamai says, if during Shviyas you want to get this out of the earth, you want to eat some of this luf, or some of these bitzolim hakitzonim, or some of this puwa you want to use. So Beishamai says, you can't just dig it out because with a regular shovel, because that looks like you're doing avodas karka, you're doing plowing in during Shviyas. So therefore, you have to do it with some type of a shinui. And when you do it, you use a kind of a rake, b'ma'arufos shel eitz, a wooden rake, which kind of combs the earth. But you don't use metal tools in order to do the avodas karka, the work on the field, in a unusual fashion, in a shinui. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel omrim bikardumos shel matochos. You can even use metal shovels. Doesn't require a shinui. It's permissible to use metal. There's no chashash that you're going to be suspected of plowing or fixing, doing tikkunim in your field during Shviyas, because everyone knows that what you're doing is digging out the luf or the botzel or the pua that was under the ground. Umodim, Beis Shammai agrees with Beis Hillel in the following situation. Bufuah shel tzeloos, and a different type of pua, which grows in the ground in such a way that ribs seem to protrude and spread all around. And these roots require, in order to uproot the pua, you can't use a ma'arufo shaleis, you can't use a wooden rake, because you require metal to be able to extract and pull out these roots. So if you're dealing with this specific species or subspecies of pua, which has tzeloos, which has ribs, meaning it has roots which are dug into the ground and are hard to dig out, even Beis Shammai agrees, she'okrinosa bekadumo shel matochos, that it's permissible to dig them up with metal shovels. Beis Shammai agrees in such a case. No one's going to think that he's doing plowing work. They realize that what he's doing is he's struggling to extract from the ground the pua that's been stored underground. And so we have finished Mishneh Gimel and Mishneh Daled of Perek Daled, and in the process have concluded lesson number 21.